What a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God. Oh, and I want you to sing it like you believe it. Let's stand. Amen. Play it, brother. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Help me. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is.
Privileged to be back in the house of the Lord today. How many of you enjoyed the service here last night? Wasn't the word of the Lord outstanding? You appreciate the word of God? Give the Lord another good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Well, we're just taking incredible journeys in the word of the Lord, and I believe every message we hear, Brother Terry, I just believe it's another stepping stone. Just getting us a little bit closer to leaving time, don't you? How many of you are looking forward to leaving here? Oh, this world has got nothing to offer a child of God, does it? So we're looking forward to the day that the Lord will just let us come on home. But until then, we're going to be soldiers. We're going to fight a good fight. We're going to finish the course. We're going to run our race well. We're not going to drag across the line. We're going to finish the race well. Give Him another big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. If you don't care to stand with me just for a few minutes. Sister Lisa Rittlebaugh suffering severe pain in her side last night. They're asking that we would remember him in prayer. A little Sister Chloe of all wants us to remember a classmate of hers, Megan Vess. I hope I got that last name right. A little 10-year-old girl with leukemia. They're asking that we would remember that child in prayer this morning. Sister Sherry Hayton wants us to please pray for a friend whose son is in Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. He's been there for 2.5 weeks. He's having severe pain. After several tests, they still can't find what the problem is. They say they don't know anything else to do. Please pray for the family that God will give them strength in this trial. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. Brother Sam and Sister Laura Wyko, they say we want to sincerely tell you that we appreciate everyone's prayers for our son Isaac last night. He is doing very well now. Praise be unto the Lord. So thank God for that this morning. Sister Clara Davis sends this in. My daughter-in-law called and asked for our church to pray for her dad, Vadine Shelsler. I hope I got that name close to right. He's in the intensive care unit in a hospital in Boston, very much in need of prayer. So they're asking that we would remember that need today. Sister Joanne Tessa says that her daughter called this morning about the storm that's passing through Florida. I told her that we would be praying for them. So let's remember all the folks in that part of the country that's under the threat of that storm. Sister Joy Keith sends this in to please pray for Brother Kevin. He has been having migraine headaches every day for the last 3 weeks. So they're asking that we would remember Brother Kevin in prayer. And then Brother Joshua Snodgrass and the church in Ohio, they want to greet the Happy Valley Assembly this morning to tell you hello. They love you very much, so praise God for that. And I also got a call this morning from my niece down in Murfreesboro, and they had just been overwhelmed by the services there. And our pastor and Sister Carol, they're in services with them, I think, on Friday, last night and today. And just wanted to let us know how proud and how thankful we should be for a godly pastor. He's just been a... And we are thankful and we are proud and we praise God for the ministry. And we certainly need to pray for the ministry. They're undergoing such, you know, we go through trials of our own and we go through situations in our family life and our personal life. But being a minister of the gospel, especially if you as a pastor or a minister that goes around very much and preaches, you not only carry your burdens, but you've got the confidence of a lot of people that they trust you with their burdens and their trials and their problems also. And it just puts a big load on the ministry. And we want to just really pray for them, don't we? That God will encourage them and just bless them really, really good. Well, are you glad to be in church this morning? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice smile and tell them this. It's good to see you today. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you guys today. I'm glad that thing's working this morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you. Larry, it's good to see you too, buddy. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and take a second or two. It won't hurt you a bit. God bless you. It's good to see you, buddy. God bless you. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is.
Jesus is. Will heaven and earth adore Him? His people, all we bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Sing it one more time now. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Yes, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Just love to bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is.
If you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about today, whatever it is, we're just committed unto the Lord. Brother Rob, come this morning, lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service and ask Him to have His divine will in all these requests this morning. God bless you, Brother Rob.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for bringing us together, Lord, congregating in this place under your name, under your revealed word of the hour. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd be welcome here. Have the preeminence in this service, Lord. And we ask with our hearts and faith, believing that you're more than able to complete all these things. Lord, we have no power within ourselves, but by oneness, Lord, we come together into you, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that you move on behalf of these requests. We ask, Lord, and we come with faith, believing you can do these things, your desires to do these things, Lord, and we ask that just the word be fulfilled, not our own compassion, not our human compassion, but they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover, Lord, to fulfill that word. That's our desire of our heart, not to do anything of ourselves, but we pray, Lord, that you come this day. Let the scripture be fulfilled in our ears as the sons of God take their position, I pray. Help us, Lord, be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Brother Brad, we got just a little bit of echo up here on the platform. Can you do away with that? We're liable to throw everything on this platform out the front door before it's all said. But we will get it right, Brother Terry. Brother Donnie said the other night, the day of the rapture, everything on this platform will be right. But we will get it right, won't we? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song this morning. I don't know if we've ever tried this or not. Have the ushers know they've not come to get the offering yet. The way I know they have, if them bags ain't there, I know they've got it. Ushers, come this morning. Receive the morning tithe and offering, if you will. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, may God bless those folks as well. But let's sing this song this morning. Brother Terry, can we sing that? Were you there? You take the high part on the chorus and we'll be able to do it, okay? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? The tree. Oh, were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble.
Brother Joe.
Tremble.
Were you there when they nailed?
laid him in the tomb. Oh, were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
I like this verse right here.
Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Oh, were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Praise the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus of the song this morning. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That's the reason we have hope, is because he's alive today. It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all my fear is gone.
I know he holds my future.
Oh, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
One more time. Tomorrow, because
across that river, I'll find life's smile. No one with pain. And then as death,
oh, yes, sir,
gives way, hallelujah, to victory, I'll see the lights of glory.
Somebody say praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Sure appreciate you singing so good and so faithful to do your job. May God bless you for that. We would probably get tarred and feathered if we didn't have you sing what you sung last night. So to keep us from doing that, why don't you just sing it? How many of you enjoyed his song last night? Praise the Lord. Sing it, buddy.
I've heard this song and she said, that's a not pretty song. You need to sing that. So back when my voice, when I didn't have much voice a few weeks ago, it's about that time and I was trying to learn the chords. Now, that's another story. Not that I really got the chords right. But anyway, I was trying to learn the chords and I couldn't really sing. So I guess my mind was wandering too far. And I was sitting there thinking on the courses, I am redeemed. You set me free. And I could just see little Ruth, because we've been hearing about Ruth and the redemption, and I could just see Ruth sitting in the house with her little boy running around the house thinking about her Redeemer, and I about come out of the, went through the roof, but I'm glad I'm redeemed. I may not be perfect, and I'm not what I need to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but I'm glad I'm not what I used to be.
I am redeemed.
my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your hand, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain.
Hallelujah. Good job, bud. Let's all stand this morning just before Brother David comes to bring us the word of the Lord. We're going to sing a little song. We'll all just join in and sing together if you'd like to. I'm so glad of one thing, that my redemption draweth nigh. And I want to tell you just a real short story. My little grandson, Drew, he's 5 years old, and he plays football, and he gets his uniform on. He thinks he's the cat's meow. He is this Mr. Touchdown. Well, yesterday during a football game, he scored his first touchdown, Brother Terry. He couldn't wait to call. I was out mowing. He called his Nana and told her he scored his first touchdown. He was just tickled to death. So I want to have a little bit of fun with him. I called him back when I come in. I said, I heard that you almost scored a touchdown. He said, no, Papa, I did score a touchdown. And I said, well, I've been hearing that you just almost scored. He said, you're wrong. I absolutely scored that touchdown. Now, I told you that to tell you this, what we heard last night. We are not going to be. We didn't used to be. We are now the sons and daughters of the Most High King. Don't let Satan buffet you and battle you, because you are a son or a daughter of God. Give Jesus a big hand clap of praise if you believe it. Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how King Jesus would come again someday. But if back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer His coming is today. Signs of the time are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. On every hand,
and violence fears our land. Still some people down, he'll never come again. I know the word of my God is true.
Oh, don't you believe
he
the church?
Will redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope, for soon Christ Jesus will descend.
Oh, let's sing about it now.
Signs of the time are everywhere. Brand new healing in the air. Oh, keep your eyes upon the eastern sky.
He's thankful for that. Real redemption. Not something put on, not something make believe. We've been redeemed by the blood. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go into the scriptures. Certainly appreciate all the wonderful singing, the playing. I just appreciate that song this morning, don't you? Amen. We'll go to the book of Mark chapter 14 if you have your Bibles this morning. We'll say we appreciate the music. I think we got some of the best music there is in the Message. Amen. God's been so good to us. He's so blessed us, and I appreciate that today. Certainly appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here before you, and ask the Lord just come and help us and just anoint us afresh. Amen. God's been doing some good things around here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed of what He's been doing either. Amen. I just want it to be more for me. How about you? I want it to be a personal revelation to me. Lord, move on me. Lord, touch me. Amen. Mark chapter 14 is what we'd like to look at just for a few moments this morning. We'll try not to be before you very long. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But you have not always. And she hath done what she could. She's come beforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to reading the word. Let's bow our hearts if you would. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that you've given us this great privilege, Lord, this opportunity to be able to come into your house this morning. Lord, we pray that you would just anoint us afresh. Not just the ministry, Lord, not just me, but Lord, may you anoint every one of us as we've come together. We pray, Lord, for these next few moments of time as we've come. Lord, may you just take, Lord, and may all the clouds of the week, Lord, all the things that we've been through, the things that's happened, Lord, the things that we've got to do this afternoon or tomorrow or next week, may we just set it on the shelf for a few moments of time. And may we take our place, Lord, before you. And Lord, we ask that you'd just come now, Lord, and help us to be able just to worship you for a few moments. You're so worthy of it this morning. We love you so much. And we ask now, Lord, may our worship, Lord, and the word, Lord, may it be pleasing unto you. Lord, we don't want to just come to the house of God just to say we was there. We want to come to receive something from you. May you help us now, Lord, as we surrender to you, both minister and congregation alike. May you grant it. Lord, we pray that you bless our pastor this morning, Lord, as he brings the word. I ask, Lord, may you anoint him this morning. Speak, Lord, what the people would have need of. May you grant it, we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Amen. Now, something's going on here. I'm working on it. Amen. The Lord has been so good to us. All the things that he has given us from the beginning of our lives even until now. We have to all agree this morning there is nothing quite like serving the God that we serve. And we know that God never does nothing unless there would be a purpose behind what he does. God doesn't just do something without having a reason behind it, a purpose behind it. And we know that God has a plan. He has a purpose. As we say, even from the beginning, we realize that our God, he was the creator, but yet he creates by purpose. Whenever God spoke the universe into existence, we realize that God was able to open his mouth, and just by speaking the spoken word, you realize he created the world that we live in now. And when he spoke, remember, Brother Rem said he spoke the word, and he said the sun come into existence, and the sun burst into flames. And that sun, through all of those times of millions of years, that sun is still burning this morning. Do you know why that sun is still burning? Because God ain't never told it to quit yet. Because once God speaks it, it has to do what God says. Once God sets it into motion, it doesn't stop. Just because there's cloudy days, the sun don't stop shining. Just because there's a day that snow falls, doesn't mean the sun's going to stop shining. You realize when God said it, it's got to continue to be what God ordained it to be. Amen. You see, he creates the stars. He created the moon. He created all these things. But you realize they are there and they are set in such a heavenly atmosphere. But stars can't worship him. And the moon can't worship him. But you realize he created you to worship him. Amen. There's a lot of churches today that say that they want to worship God and they say they believe in worship. But I believe the Bible tells us that there is a group of people on the face of the earth that God isn't just going to accept worship from, but God desires to have worship from. You see, there's a lot of people that worships God for what he done. They worship God for what he's going to do. But Brother M said they fail to recognize what he's doing right now. If you realize that God has done something for you, oh my, it ought to make you want to worship him. To know if he saved you from a life of slavery, it ought to make you want to worship him. The book of Romans says, I see Jesus Christ as a minister of circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made. And the Gentiles might glorify, not sit with their arms folded, not sit discouraged, not just sit and watch. They come to magnify. It means to exalt. It means to lift up his name. For I will cause confessedly among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he says, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, ye Gentiles, and laud all ye people. So Paul is saying as Gentiles, we should worship and magnify God because of all the mercy that he shows you. There's a lot of people who wants to be used by God and they want to see the hand of God move. And no doubt it's a sincere desire to want to see God. But too many people, they're not willing to do what it takes to see God move. I hear it all the time in the field. We need revival. We need a move of God. Our church is stale. It's stagnant. We need God to do something. Brother, let me tell you, if you want God to move, you've got to get on your face before God and invite God in your presence. If you really want revival, that's what it's going to take. Hallelujah. God is too big to be put into our social agenda. God don't move on your time. God don't move on my time. God don't move because it's a message church. When you think you've got God all figured out and you think you know something about him, brother, I'll tell you, when you expect God to come in the front door, God will come in the back door. He don't come the way you think. He don't even come the way we think. He don't come when we want him to. He comes when he's invited and made welcome, he stays. You realize I'm glad I don't know everything about God. I'm glad I don't have Him figured out. I'm glad God doesn't fit my mindset. Amen. I'm glad God don't fit in my box. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because you know what we do with boxes after we're done? We put them in the corner. But God will not be put in no church's corner. Nobody has rights to put God in their church and He goes nowhere else. But that ain't the way He is. God does not move because we're a group. He's an individual God for every person this morning. Paul said, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. Not when you feel like it. Not when everything's going good. Not when it seems like it's been a good day. Come on, somebody. The sacrifice of praise. There's going to be days you don't feel like it. There's going to be days that don't seem like God is anywhere around you. That's at that time you must offer Him the sacrifice of praise. Amen. We think, oh my, as long as the music's good and it seems like everybody's doing fine and the mother-in-law ain't made a visit for about 3 months. Amen. Man, we can worship God. Let me tell you something, friends. It takes more than music to bring God. Yes, that's part of it. But it takes somebody who's willing to be before God and invite God in and make Him welcome amongst us. Amen. He said the sacrifice of praise to God. How long, Brother David? Continually. When you're up, you should praise Him. When you're down, you should thank Him. Amen, somebody. Which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks to His name. You cannot give thanks to His name if you don't know what His name is. Amen, somebody. Remember, I told us in the message, Satan's Eden, he said, people are ignorantly worshiping Satan, thinking they're worshiping God. You know why they're doing it? Because they're worshiping under a false interpretation of the Word of God. But if they can worship under a false interpretation, if they can worship under a false pretense, how about you and I, who sits here under the revealed word of the hour, how we should worship Him today? I don't believe God just wants worship. He expects worship. Amen, somebody. Anybody has a right to praise Him, but it takes somebody who knows His name to really worship Him. Amen. You wasn't put here for God to worship you. Amen. You was put here so the creation can look back to the Creator and say, God, had it not been for You, I wouldn't be here. Had it not been for Your grace, I wouldn't even be in this service this morning. Amen. There's a difference between praise and worship. Amen. A praiser says, Lord, thank You for my shoes. Thank You for my house. Thank You for my job. Thank You for this. Thank You for that. That's what people that praise does. A praiser will say, thank You for my shoes. But a worshiper will say, Lord, if I ain't got no shoes, I'm going to worship You anyway. If I ain't got no house, I want to worship You anyway. If I ain't got no job, I'm a worshiper and I'm going to worship You anyway. Brother, that's what Jesus wants. He wants some real worshipers. Lord, there's a lot of things in this world, but I need You. There's a lot of problems in this world, but Lord, I need You. I may not have a dollar to my name, but if I got You, that's all I need. Hallelujah. I don't know what tomorrow's going to take place, but as long as I got a hold of You, it don't matter what comes or what goes, as long as I got You in my heart. That's worship. Peter says it like this. Your chosen generation. Royal priesthood. Priesthood's made to worship. A holy nation of peculiar people. That you should show forth the praise of Him who has called you. Come on, somebody. Out of darkness. Out of chaos. Out of Laodicea. Come on. He's called you out of darkness into, you realize that's redemption. Redemption brings you out, but then it takes you into. He called you out of darkness, brought you into light. Called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's done it for you and I. Brother, that ought to make you want to let your hair down. That ought to put a spring in your step. That ought to put something behind your voice. Lord, as long as I got you, that's all I need today. Lord, you've revealed to me this message. Let me tell you how much I appreciate it. Lord, you provided for me when I didn't have nothing. Let me tell you how much I love you. But you can't worship unless you know where His provided place to worship is. But I'm saying God's only provided a place of worship. The name is in the Word. Because He is the Word. And the Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. So real true worship is where God puts His name at. Amen? Notice this. We must know where God has provided a place to worship. It ain't under some ecclesiastical name. It ain't under Baptist. It ain't under Methodist. It ain't under Presbyterian. It ain't under Pentecost. It ain't even under the terms message. Because you got people around our message that thinks just because they go to a message church, God hears everything they say. Brother, it's an individual affair tonight. This morning. God looks at you as an individual. People can worship around you, but they cannot worship for you. You can receive a blessing sitting right there in your pew and the person right beside you miss it by a million miles because they're just expecting God to do what He does. Amen. Brother, when somebody folds their arm and they're mad over the way you worship, I'll tell you, they ain't where they need to be with God. There's a cost to serve God. What I'd like to speak to you this morning on is the cost of a broken vessel. The cost of a broken vessel. We take things that are broken and we discard them. Whenever a pitcher gets broken, we throw it away. When a glass gets broken, we throw it away. When somebody gets old and we feel like they ain't no use to society anymore, we put them away. Because we don't see that there's a real beauty that lays behind that individual. Amen, somebody. But there's a cost that must be paid for you to be able to worship God. There was a price that had to be paid. Amen. Well, that's the reason there ought to be worship this morning. Because a price has been paid. And if it's become true, genuinely revealed to you, it'll make, you won't have to be made to worship. You won't have to be talked into worship. There's something in you that says, I'm going to enter into His house with thanksgiving. I'm going to enter into His gates with praise. If nobody else does, I'm going to. Amen. Amen. I've seen people get mad over the way people worship. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The reason why they're not worshiping is because He's not really God to them. This has always got me. But remember, said there was a time that God wasn't even God. Amen. And Brother Ram said what made Him God is when He created the angels and the angels began to worship Him, which made Him an object of worship, which made Him God. Can I say it?
So if you ain't worshiping God, He is not an object of worship to you. You have not made Him God. There's a lot of things we've made God. We've allowed sports to become God. We've allowed men to become God. We've allowed family to become God. But there's only one God this morning. Hallelujah! There's one God that desires your worship. If you can't worship, He's not God to you. Because when He really becomes God to you, you can't keep from praising Him. You can't keep from telling somebody about Him. Remember, said He became God when the angels begin to worship. God's an attribute. He's an object of worship. And you cannot do that unless you make Him God. I might make Him God by jumping. You might make Him God by shouting. You may make Him God by crying. Amen. But don't get mad at me because of the way I make Him God. God loves worship. He loves it from tears to hands to crying. He loves worship. He's Almighty God and He desires it this morning. Hallelujah. We should have a desire. A desire. Think about it. A desire to want to worship Him. Ain't nobody got to beat you into it. Come on, somebody. Ain't nobody got to talk you into it. Brother, you don't have to talk me into worshiping my God. There's a desire deep down within this seed that wants to tell that son, thank you for drawing me out of my shell. Thank you for drawing me out of my sin. Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. It means He dwells, He remains, He sits, He puts His abode, He stays put. So if you ain't worshiping, Jesus don't want to be around you. Our praise makes God want to be around us. Amen. Hey, everybody likes to be bragged about. Amen. You take a man and his wife begin to tell how awesome he is, how strong he is. And there'd be something that weighs 1,500 pounds and him in 10 lifetimes can't pick up. You let her start bragging on how strong he is. Brother, he'll have 15 hernias trying to lift something up to make her try to live up to his expectation. And when you begin to brag on how great your God is, how powerful your God is, how wonderful your God is, there's an expectation that God can live up to, brother. He ain't like me. God can live up to His expectation. He ain't like me and you. You brag on God. He's big enough to back it up. He inhabits the praises of His people. But Abraham said, He's a gentleman. He comes where He's invited. I hear Brother M say just before I come out, he said Jesus keeps all of His appointments. But if there ain't no worship and there ain't no praise, amen somebody. Well, Brother David, you don't know how bad my week's been. You don't know how bad my problem is. You don't know how big my trouble is. You don't know how big my God is. I don't ask you to praise Him because everything's right in your life. Come on, somebody. I don't ask you to worship Him because you got it all laid out and you got it all figured out. I say we should worship Him because whether you're up or down, you are a priest called after the order of Melchizedek and you are anointed to worship our Lord. Praise makes God want to be around you. Amen. David said it like this. Remember, David knew something about worship. David knew something about worship. He was out there on the backside of the field protecting daddy's sheep. Amen, somebody. David got out there and began to stare at the sheep and see how the sheep needed somebody to take care of them. And David began to think about how he was God's sheep. And David began to look back to God. And David said, I'm the sheep shepherd. He said, but the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He watches over me. He protects me. His hand is upon me. Anybody can worship God when they're on the mountain. Come on, somebody. Anybody can worship God when everything's going good. Amen. Either that or desperation. You let trouble, 9/11, there was atheists worshiping God. Because problems come up. Everybody gets religious. But brother, let me tell you, there's problems today. It ain't terrorists, but it's that old devil this morning. And God's got children. Whether they feel like it or not, they're going to say, you are my God and I'm your son. David said in Psalm 71, oh God, be not far from me. Showing we all want to be close to God. Make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are my adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually. Amen. Learn a lesson from David this morning. When everything looks bad, I'm going to hope continually. When I'm tried and God got things around me, I'm going to hope continually. And yet will I praise thee. Not less and less. Less, no, no. More and more. When the times is rough, that's the best time to praise God. When everything goes wrong, that's the best time to lift your voice and let Him know who He is. We got too many Sunday morning Christians. As long as it ain't raining, praise God, we're in the Spirit. But a little trouble come our way. Little clouds move in. A little darkness come around us. Brother, that proves what you are. You may not realize it. Every promise of God is built on an adverse condition. That means this. God is not going to make you trouble free. The more you believe the promise, it's going to bring more trials on. Whew. Worship and praise. Listen, it's something that is exalting to God when everything is wrong. That's the time to give Him the sacrifice of praise. Because you believe in that promise, it's not going to dismiss all the problems from your life. No, it's not. It's not going to dismiss your trials. Matter of fact, you're going to have more than you ever had. But David, I don't like that. Then don't take God at His word. Because you start believing the word of God, every devil in hell's gun is trained on you. Every imp out of hell wants to take you out, knock the props out from underneath you. Because when you start believing God's word, you become an enemy to our adversary. Worship, praise, doesn't dismiss trials. Whew. But I believe this. The best way to get out of a problem. The best way to get out of a trial. We tried crying our way out. We tried beating on the altar to get out. We tried crying to the pastor to get out. But the best way to get out of your problem is praise your way out of your problem. Amen. Remember, God has always tried by fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into a fiery furnace. But when the fire got turned up, it loosed what had them bound. You let troubles come your way, and the fire will loose what's got you bound. We wonder why in the world I'm going through this. God may let that fire come upon your life to loose the bands that's got your hands. And brother, once them hands is loose, we are to throw them up to God and say, God, it's by your promise, by your word, I'm able to lift my hands and give you admiration and thanksgiving for what you've done. God wants the kind of people that can be tried and tested and still worship in the middle of their problems. Let me go this direction a minute. And I'll hurry. Never let God grow common to you. Because that's the reason why some people fail to worship God, is because they get used of coming to church. And we get used of having song service. And we get used of people being loud. And we get used of hearing the preaching. Preach, Brother David. Never let church grow common to you. Never let the word of God grow common to you. But I have to say, we are blessed beyond measure for the minister that God has placed in this building. But if you ain't careful, God can use that man week in and week out, and as all you get out of it is Donnie Reagan and just the man, you miss what God's trying to say to you because it becomes common to you. We have some of the best instrument players. Brother Larry and Brother Harry, the different ones that play some music. Some of the best I've ever seen around the message. I know of any better. But if you ain't careful, that piano, that organ, that worship, that singing will become so common to you, you fail to recognize God in the middle of it. Never think you come to this building to get entertained. Can I say something, somebody? Don't think you come to this building for the preacher to entertain you. Well, what's he got in store today? How many pages he got? What's he going to say today? God ain't here to entertain you. You are here. Amen. You're here to entertain God. God ain't here to be entertained by you. Well, what you got today, preacher? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to give you about 45 minutes. If you ain't said it by then, forget it. I'm leaving. Woo! Praise the Lord. Shout now, somebody. Say amen now, somebody. Oh, not me, Brother David. I'm here because it's a social agenda. I'm here to be seen. I'm here to see somebody. But it ain't you, it's God. Jesus walked amongst the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, and Jesus became common to them. I can't get my brain wrapped around that. How can Jesus become common? A God that heals the blinded eyes. A God that raises the dead. How can this man become common among us? We get used to people testifying that God healed them. We get used to it. We get used to testimonies. If we ain't careful, we hear prayer requests come across this desk and we get used to people having problems. Besides realizing one day that might be your prayer request up there. And you need somebody that come to this building that wants to get a hold of God for you. That can be your 10-year-old child with leukemia. That can be your baby. I guarantee you, you want people here more than just for a social agenda or just some halfway prayer. You want somebody that can reach up and touch the hem of his garment. Brother David, I just don't think I'm that blessed. You need to walk through the children's hospital one day and tell me you ain't blessed. Come on, somebody. Amen. We come to the building on the side of the hill this morning to praise our God, to let the devil know. Amen. Remember, Brother Ram talked about that man that was blind, and the man that he said he was blind and he couldn't see, he was deaf and he couldn't hear, and the man couldn't do nothing, he couldn't even speak, and that, you know, it's amazing. He said, well, why in the world do you go to church? You can't hear what the preacher's got to say. You can't see him. You can't say nothing. And by Braille, they asked him why he comes. He said, just to let the devil know whose side I'm on. Brother, you may not have come for any other reason this morning, but if you come to let the devil know what side you're on, what team you're rooting for, you ought to be able to lift your hand and say, God, you are my God. Yes. Hallelujah. Not I heard my Redeemer living. I know my Redeemer living. Not just yours, mine. Oh, my. Most of these people that followed Jesus, they left their homes, they left their families just to follow Jesus. Just because Jesus said come, they dropped everything in their life and they followed. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine? Peter was a businessman, left everything he owned to follow Jesus. He left his wife, he left his children, he left his job, he left his mother-in-law. That's a man of God right there. Care what you think. He left everything he knowed just to follow Jesus. How many knows If you want God to stay in your midst, if you want revival deep inside your heart, if you want God to become real and feel His presence and allow God to speak to you, we're so busy talking, God can't talk to us. We're so busy rattling off, God can't say nothing to us, brother. There's times you need to shut your mouth, lay in His presence, and allow His Spirit to speak to you. Brother, worship's more than you making God and giving Him your list of what you need Him to do for you. He ain't your errand boy. Preach, somebody. He ain't your errand boy. Amen. He's also your God. And there's times that our God, I believe He wants, I know we have not because we ask God, and we should bombard Him with what we have need of. But there's times that He just wants to hear you praise Him and hear you magnify Him and give Him glory. Jesus comes down to Simon's house because he'd been invited down to the house. But he got there and they allowed him just to become common. I hope you understand what I just said. Jesus shows up in the house, but it's just common. Amen, somebody. Jesus came to the house of Bethany. He was there, but it was no big deal. Can you imagine going to the house and Jesus showing up and it not being a very big deal? Well, that's just Jesus. That's just Jesus. He shows up almost every service. He's just one of the guys. He's more than that this morning. Amen. The Lord says He come down there by invitation. He walked there into the house and He said the foot wash flunky failed to do his job for Jesus. He made sure He washed every dignitary's feet. But when it come to Jesus, nobody was there to greet Him. Nobody was there to make Him welcome. I hope you understand. There was nobody there in the house. Nobody in the house to make Him feel welcome for being there. Brother Ram said everybody else in the house got welcomed. He said once they walked down the road, they had dust all over their body. Sweat would be running off of their face. Manure on their feet and their legs. And they would come into the house. The job of the foot washer was to make sure everything was washed off of him. And they would take anointing and they would anoint the body so that when he came into the house, the anointing carried a fragrance with him. And besides sitting there stinking, they would smell the fragrance from that anointing. But they failed to entertain Jesus. Can you imagine? This man who's fixing to go to die for their sins, they've let him pass by and they haven't even recognized him being there. Nobody to entertain him. I hope you hear me. Nobody to greet him. Nobody to thank him for coming. Nobody to make him feel welcome. Sweat dropping from his face. Nobody to wipe it from his face. Barham said the message of pride. I imagine he was miserable sitting there. Why would he stay? If he's miserable, why would he want to be here? I imagine he was miserable sitting there. All the rest of them Pharisees testified over about the different things that had happened. And poor Jesus sat there with dirty feet, unanointed, and no kiss. He said he sat unanointed with dirty feet. How embarrassed he was. Can you imagine Jesus is embarrassed? He's embarrassed because nobody wants to give him what he's really worthy of. Pharisees was having a big time. He's too busy entertaining the great big men of the city to know that Jesus was unentertained. But he come anyhow. You know why he's there? Because they say we want him. You know why he comes? Because we say we want him. But if we ain't careful, he'll come in here and sit on the side with dirty feet. And everybody's got so many things that they got to do and so many things that's going on in their life. I'm just too busy right now. I mean, there's just too much going on. Just leave me alone right now. I know he's there, but I got too much going on. Listen, friends, why would you sit in church and worry about everything that's going on in your life? Worry about how the bills are going to get paid, how everything's going to work out. Why worry about it when there's a God that can take care of your worry? There's a God that can take care of your problems. The one that can do something about it sits in our midst, service in and service out. But to you as an individual, don't let him sit there with dirty feet. Abraham said that there he was in the rich and the proud. They didn't care nothing about him. He was just entertainment. He was just entertainment. They just come to make fun of him. He's just entertainment. Somebody to talk about. Somebody to make fun of. Just entertainment. Something to make people gape and look upon. Can you imagine? Jesus in people's churches is there just for entertainment. God help us. Why he was sitting there outside in the street. Glory to God. There was a real bad woman in the town. A prostitute. Won't go into detail, but you know what that means. It's a woman. It's of ill fame. Listen to this woman's condition. Fallen. Come on, somebody. Fallen. Don't condemn her! Before there can be a fallen woman, there has to be a fallen man. Listen to this woman's situation. Maybe someone, maybe some sweetheart she had loved up to her heart until he crushed the fire of her life under his feet and introduced her to this kind of a life. Things happened to her life that's caused her to be put in this situation. And it got to the place that's the only way she can make a living. Glory! She was a prostitute. She spent her time amongst the prostitutes. Preach, Brother David. She was fallen, living amongst the prostitutes. She passed by this house one day. And Brother Ram said when she looked down there, she realized, my, it's going to be a slow day today. Everybody's down at Simon's house. But Brother Ram said she smelt that roasted lamb. And she got to wondering, what would that lamb taste like? So she went there because she knew lamb was there. Glory to God. Perhaps she went down there and began to peek through, trying to catch a glimpse. Of course, other people didn't want her in their church. I mean, around them. She was too dirty. She was too filthy. She had too many things go wrong in life. Come on, somebody. Ill fame! Abraham said when she looked through there, she saw him sitting there. Nobody around him. Nobody talking to him. Nobody washed his feet. Sweat running off his face. Manure still on his feet. And Abraham said something in her began to respond. Deep beneath that pond, a little seed laid in inside. That little lay there beneath all the corruption, all the guilt, all the shame, all the ill fame, all the prostitution. There's a seed laying there. And that seed was drawn to that light. Glory! And something hits her. Something hits her. I'm going to wash his feet. And Brother Ram said that's where the mind battle started. What's people going to think? If you run into that church, I mean that house, and start entertaining the Lord. What's people going to think? What's the neighbors going to think? What's everybody going to think? What's your best friend going to think? Who cares what they think? Amen, somebody. I mean, I can't do this. I've done too many things wrong. I've made too many mistakes. You know how bad my past is. You know how big my problem is. Isn't it amazing? Satan can tell you every reason in the world on why you shouldn't worship God. But he don't tell you one reason why you should. Brother Ram said she saw him laying there. And her mind come back to the savings that she had saved up. Brother Ram said she ran back to her house. And sure enough, her, she gave everything that she had. She didn't hide back one coin, not one penny. And she ran down to buy the best ointment that she could pay for. Spikenard's ointment that actually comes from India. Way back in the mountains, they would take, it come from a plant's roots. They would take and extract that from that root. You can imagine how hard it would be just to get one drop from that plant. And it would take hundreds of plants to finally get enough for a bottle of ointment. And Miriam said she ran in there, watch this in pride, laid her money out. She said, I want an alabaster box, the best you got in the store. He said, let's just see how much money you got. She lays it out. She had 180 Roman denarii and counted it all out. Yeah, you just got just enough. You got just enough. I guess you can go to church. You've done just enough. You've done just enough just to make it in the door. Come on, somebody. You've done just enough just to sit in the pew. You've done just enough to be able to pull up in the parking lot. She one of the best. She said he's deserving of the best. How does she know? How does she know he's deserving? Because she had heard. And faith cometh by. Glory to God. He's deserving the best you got. Don't give him a little corner. Give him all you got. He deserves the best you got, the best you can do. And that's all she had. She knowed how she got it. She said, I hate to do it this way. I hate to do it this way. Because the way I earned this, I hate to do it this way. I hate to use this because it's held cigarettes, but it's all I got. I hate to use this because it's held a long neck bottle, but it's the best I got. I hate to use this, but it's all I got today. Brother, Jesus will accept it. If it's all you got, Jesus will accept it. It's all I got, so I'm going to give it to him. Jesus don't expect you to give more, but what you got. He deserves the best you got, the best you can do. She knows how she got it. I hate to do this. Maybe I'm out of order. Maybe I'm out of order. But it's the best I got. She didn't argue with him about the price. That wasn't it. You see how her mind went beyond money. It went beyond price. It went beyond cost. Amen, somebody. It didn't mean it. She wasn't trying to wonder how many people's going to hate her. How many people's going to turn her back if she starts believing this. You see it? She wants the best. It's going to the best. So now, why not have him have the best? She picks up that alabaster box, puts it in her bosom, and she starts out. Miriam said she didn't walk. She ran to Simon's house. Because in her mind, if she would have stopped and reasonably thought about what she's fixing to do. Come on, somebody. Don't you know real worship is spontaneous? It ain't thinking about it. It ain't trying to figure it out. Worship comes spontaneous because when His presence drops down on you, you don't care who's around you. You don't care who's looking. You don't care what somebody thinks. You're a son of God and you come to worship God. If you don't like it, tough. The thing of it was not how she was going to get there. When she was going to make an effort to get there, I love this statement, she elbowed her way right through. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you, friends, don't let nothing stop you from getting there. Somebody may have some excuse. If you don't like my worship, excuse me. If you don't like my praise, excuse me. If you don't like me worshiping God, excuse me. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm a son of God, and I'm here to worship God. If you don't like it, excuse me. Excuse me. Hallelujah. I'm a son of God. Excuse me. Hallelujah. You don't know what this oil has costed me. Excuse me. You don't know what hell I've been through. Excuse me. You don't know the cost of the oil in this box. Excuse me. Can you identify with this woman? I love this. She seized her opportunity to worship. Don't let that moment pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. Your opportunity to worship Him. You personally, you alone, seize that moment when that opportunity happens. I wonder how many moments we've wasted in our lives. How many moments have we let pass by? I've watched grown men when altar calls are being made. I've watched grown men's knuckles turn white to keep from coming and seizing their opportunity. I watch people put their head down, and no doubt in their mind they're telling themselves, just wait a little while, he'll quit. Just wait a minute, he'll be done. Just hold on, hold on, hold on. Where's that coming from? That old life of yours starts calling back on you. Amen. Worship's spontaneous. You feel something tug at your heart. Don't you know that's amazing grace? God don't have to pull at your heart. God don't have to tug at your heart. But He does it anyway. There's always a flesh wall we got to get through. Hey, brothers and sisters, the Lord laid this on my heart 2 weeks ago when I was in the church on a Sunday night to preach this today. Listen, there's always a flesh wall we got to press through. You're not the only one that has to do it. Preachers have to do it. Lefty has to do it. Musicians. Amen, somebody. You think a man preaches because he walks out that door every time? He's so much on fire he can't hardly stand it. That ain't the way it is. You're called of God to do it, so you do it. Amen! The sacrifice of praise! You realize you gotta press through that veil sometime, that flesh, to get into His presence. You married people already know what I'm talking about. Amen! Sunday morning. How many knows what I'm talking about? Sunday morning. It's mass terror to try to get everybody ready for church. And he's sitting in the driveway and honking that horn ever so slightly. Amen, somebody. Just enough to make demons run out of your ears, honey. Come on, somebody. And here she comes out. She's dragging a kid by the diaper. She's got another one by the heels. And she comes out to that car, opens the back door. She's got her purse over one shoulder. She's got a diaper bag over the other shoulder. She's got her shoes in one hand, hairspray and a brush in... She puts him in the back seat and she gets in and she sits down. He says, honey, I love you, but you burnt my bacon this morning. And she said, yeah. And when I get you high at home, I'm going to burn your spam too. And as for you, you shut your mouth. I'm going to grill that pacifier plumb down in your pancreatic. And you shut your mouth too. I'm tired of you all morning. And then we're off. To Happy Valley Church. We pull up in the parking lot at 55 mile an hour. We get out. You can always tell who the ones that's mad. She's always 9 paces ahead of him. She's got spit up on this sleeve, bags on this sleeve, but we're going to the house of God. Praise the Lord. You get in here and you sit down and you think, I'm not going to get nothing out of this service. I won't get nothing. I should have just stayed home. And then the music starts playing and the songs begin to go up. And before you know it, all those problems begin to fall. All that morning begins to take a back seat. And the Spirit of God begins to drop down on you. And you begin to lift your hands and say, God, I don't know why I doubted you. I don't know why I questioned you. Lord, you are my high tower. You're my bridge over troubled water. I'm going to go old school on you. You are my water from a rock. You are my manna out of heaven. You are my axe head that floats on the water. You are my God. Hallelujah! Amen! This is her opportunity! Can you imagine? After she's made her way through the crowd, she comes before him. If you could hear her heart racing. She's nervous. She don't know what she's going to say. No doubt in her mind, she's, what can I say? I mean, what can I say to him? I mean, what can I say? As she gets there, Reverend said tears begin to flow from her eyes until she couldn't say nothing. She was there. She's trying to say something and it won't come out and tears are falling. And Brother M said she just falls to her knees. She looks and there's his feet laying before her and tears begin to fall from her face. She lays this box on the floor right beside him. She looks there. No doubt in her mind, she's thinking, who am I to be able to sit before him? Who am I to be able to come into the presence of Jesus? Are you with me? Who am I? Am I deserving? No! But he is. She got to his feet, laid the box on the floor. She started to raise up. And she couldn't. She just couldn't. She's weeping so hard she couldn't raise up. She got it all half stooped and she couldn't raise up. She couldn't raise up! She realized that she was standing by the fountain of purity. She realized that she was standing by the only thing that could forgive her. While she's sitting there, she's wondering how can it happen. About the time it hits her, the rhema begins to flow down through her mind and says, he is your forgiveness. She tries and she weeps and her tears are rolling down her cheeks. Spatting, running down on the dirty feet of Jesus. Tears pouring down on her cheeks about his dirty feet. The first thing you know, she finds herself rubbing his feet. Before she even realized it, spontaneously, her hands goes to his feet. And she begins to rub his feet. Tears begins to drop down one after another onto his feet. And she begins to wash his feet with her tears. Tears of repentance, Brother Ram said. Notice pouring down. What a blessing. Tears of purity. Purity of repentance. Tears of repentance pouring out. Washing the dirty feet. Oh, have mercy. Tears of regret. What a beautiful water. Sparkling water coming from her heart. God squeezed her heart so much, tears begin to flow out of her eyes. Lord God, I'm no good, but I can't stand to see you like this. Tears pouring down her cheeks, her rubbing his feet like that, washing them with tears. There sits that alabaster box, and the first thing she know, in her hysterical condition. Nobody's going to mistake you for being hysterical. Man, I tell you, they're just hysterically asleep. Look at them. That's not hysterical. You hear it all the time. We just don't want no wildfire. We're just scared somebody's going to have some wildfire. We're scared of it. Brother and sister, very few times in my message life have I ever seen wildfire. I have seen it, but not very often. You ain't got no worries. You ain't got no worries! But Ram said, we need a little wildfire than no fire at all. Before she knew it, she got such a hysterical condition, she shook her hair down. You ever been to services like that? You remember services? I've been to services where you had to pick the bobby pins up off the floor after church. I've been to services where you had to have a shoe swap just to find out whose is whose. I met somebody. Well, you ain't ever been to a service till you wipe tears off the altar. Tears of regret. Tears of sadness. Tears of sin. And she's wiping his feet with her hair as it falls in over his feet. Hysterically, she grabs her hair and she begins to wipe his feet. Hair in the scripture is a woman's glory. She's taking her glory and washing the feet of her head with her glory. She was giving. Amen! She's giving him glory! Brother Ram said the only decent thing she had was her hair. And she used it to wash his feet. Brother, it don't take PhDs. It don't take education. It don't take seminaries. Just use what you got. after all the men, after all her problems, after all the trouble, everything she's been through, got her to this place in life. And Jesus didn't ask her, how many Hail Marys did you say this morning? How many message books did you read this week? Woo! Praise the Lord. Because if you ain't done enough requirements, you can't wash your hair with my feet, your feet with my hair. He loved her, Brother Ram said, unconditionally. She took the box that was laying there. This box is everything that she ever was laid in this box. Everything she ever did lays in this box. And as she bends over and that box is laying there, she takes this box and she breaks it on the floor. Everything she was, wood begins to splinter from it. As everything moves back, there the oil begins to puddle up beside the feet of Jesus. And she begins to take that oil and she picks it up. And she pours it down on her feet. She wipes it up and begins to pour it on his feet. Oh, Jesus. Everybody around her has been tuned out. The Pharisees, Simon, all the men, the dignitaries, the governors, the mayors, they've been tuned out. Only thing she knows is, I'm in the presence of Jesus. And he is holy. I said he's holy. Holy is my Lord. You are holy. You are holy. Holy is. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's none like you, Lord Jesus. There's none like you.
The tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came,
Boy.
Through the shame that flushed her face,
Boy.
Until at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, I've come to pour my praise on. be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did. Of the oil in my alabaster pot. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. God spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him. Praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You were there the night Jesus found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Hallelujah. Can you imagine as she looked into the face of Jesus? There was Simon. There was all these dignitaries around. And Jesus looks directly to her. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins which are many, they're forgiven. In just that instant, her mind went back, maybe a flash of everything that she had done, everything that she had committed. And Jesus said, all of your sins, which were many, they're forgiven. What must it have done to her? How must she have felt when she walked outside, all these great men looking at her, thinking, my, you just broke the church up. I mean, you just messed the whole fellowship up. But when she left there, you don't know what he's done to me. My sins, they're forgiven. I came to this house and I was burdened. Come on, somebody. I come to this building and I was burdened. But when I leave here, I'm free. The cost of a broken vessel. What will it cost you this morning? What will it cost you? Because in that box represents everything that she was as she breaks it on the ground. That's what we need
We need God to break us. You hear it all the time. Jesus, hide me behind the cross. Hide me behind the cross. Don't hide me behind it. Put me on it. Don't just put me behind it. Take this man, this flesh, and put me on it. Let's bow our hearts. The cost of a broken vessel. She took that anointing oil and she anointed the anointed. Glory to God. I wonder this morning. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what your trouble is. I don't know what your problems are. I don't know what's happened to you. But I can tell you something. It just takes a few moments in His presence. Just a few moments in His presence. Oh, what He can do for you. What He can do for you. I wonder this morning, is there somebody in this building? I won't ask you to come to the front. I won't ask you to make any type of public display. But I want you to say, Lord, I want my vessel broke at the feet of Jesus. Everything I am, everything I'll ever be, I want to make sure, as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I want to break my vessel at your feet, Lord. Let the worshipers rise. Heavenly Father, hands, Lord, all over this building. We lift our hands to the one who created us. The one that give us life. The one that give us the strength to be able to come to the house of God this morning. We want to let you know there isn't none like you. I know, Lord, there's a lot of people worship all kinds of gods. But there ain't no God like you. Lord, you don't ask us to do it by merit. You don't ask us to do it, dear God, by works. It's a free gift called grace, mercy, love, unmerited favor. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. How we need you this morning, Lord. No doubt Mary needs to crawl up to your feet and break her life before you and pour that oil upon your feet this morning. Lord, what must it have been that day when that strong fragrance began to move up from your feet and you begin to smell the fragrance from that costly oil. Hallelujah. No doubt, Lord, as she anointed you for your burial, a few days later, you would be beat and whipped and you'd walk down, Lord, down Dolorosa. Glory to God. No doubt as you fell under the weight of the cross, you could smell it. Somebody's worshiped me. Hallelujah. Somebody's worshiped me. Somebody's praised me. What must it have been when your head was bowed, your body suffering on the cross? Somebody worshiped me. Somebody praised me. All you ever longed was for somebody to have fellowship with. May that be us this morning, Lord. Speak to every heart. I pray, oh God, may you grant it this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, don't make this just another service. Don't make this another Sunday morning. Make it be the Sunday morning I broke my vessel at the feet of Jesus. May it be the day that something in my life changed. Something turned. Something happened. I can't explain it. I haven't figured it out. All I know is something happened that morning. Something in my heart down beneath that old scum of that pond. Hallelujah! Something down beneath that darkness. That seed began to quiver. And something began to grow and be drawn back to the sun. The cost, Lord, of a broken vessel. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Praise be to God. Oh my, let's just love Him this morning as our, for the Harry sings. You Don't worry about being emotional. Don't worry about being seen. You as an individual, let him know that you've broken your vessel at his feet. Oh, praise be to God. Pray.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand.
Hallelujah.
I want to be standing by your side.
Yes, I do.
Holding your hand. So let your kingdom come.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea.
Oh, yes.
Let the worshipers arise.
Worship him there.
Let the sons and the daughters sing.
Bring your box and break it at his feet. Hallelujah.
I'm surrendering my
all. Oh, let everything that has breath, let them praise the Lord. Praise him in the good times. Praise him in the bad times. Praise him when you're up. Praise him when you're down.
Let the worshipers arise.
Lord, I'm unworthy, but you are. Lord, I'm unclean, but you're clean.
I'm surrendering my life to you, Lord. I surrender to the King.
Is he your King?
Father, I hear it growing loud. It's the song of your redeemed. As the saints of every nation are awakening the scene, from our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my
all.
I'm surrendering to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm
at his feet. And brother, if you ever give it up for years, I'd pick cigarettes up off the altar. I'd pick drugs up off the altar after service. I picked all kinds of things up off the altar. Brother, the secret is ain't laying it down. It's not picking it back up. Once you get rid of it, say, I'm done with that. My life has been changed now, you see. I'm not going down to the church just looking for entertainment. I'm going to entertain my King. Don't matter what you think about it, you don't know the cost that it's taken me to get to this building this morning. You don't know what it's costing me. You don't know the family that don't care nothing about me, won't even talk to me no more because I believe what I believe. You don't know the cost. So brother, don't even try getting in my way. I'm here to worship. He looked beyond my faults on my knee, Brother Harry. Don't you just love him this morning? You realize what this is. This is an opportunity. An opportunity to worship him. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, sing it now. If you know what he's talking about.
Always be.
Yes, it will.
My song.
No matter how long.
For it was great.
How many knows it was?
That was
amazing grace.
I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my predestinated seed, and I shall bow. To view the glory.
Jesus is holy. holy. Holy is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for it reaches to the highest mountain. Brother Ram said when that girl got up, Mary, she had oil dripping off her face from where she'd been kissing his feet. Brother Ram said she was a mess, but she didn't care. She had oil in her hair, oil on her face. I pray that'd be us this morning. May we be covered by his oil, the fragrance of his holiness, the fragrance of his beauty. Cover me, Lord, I pray. Cover me. Oh, praise be to God. But I'm so thankful this blood will never, I don't care what happens tomorrow, this blood will never lose its power. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said it reaches to the highest mountain. Help me now. I know it flows to the lowest valley. I said the blood that gives me my strength from death. Oh, it will never. No, 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 it's my own. Flows down to Simon's house where there's a prostitute with a brokenness. Glory, glory. I know the blood. It gives me strength every day. Oh, never, never lose my. Oh, I said it reaches to the high, to the highest mountain. Sing it now. I know it flows. I don't care where you're at. His blood should keep you. I said, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I said, I love you, my Lord, with all of do you really? You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. Tell him now. Tell him how much you love him. How much you care about him. Come on, worshiper. Let him know how you feel. Tell him now with all your heart. I said I love you. You're my Lord. Oh, love. Oh, my heart, Lord. You're my everything. You're the fresh breeze in the morning. You're the fragrance, Lord, from the flowers. You're the reason I sing. I love. I love you. Oh, praise God. Oh, my. Oh, I said, I love you. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the fear of God. You are my everything. You're the reason that I see. Oh, yes, you are. I love you, Lord. I love you, Father. Thank you today. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. Oh, I said, I love you, my dear Lord.
not just some of it, with all of my heart. Not just some of my own. I want to give you all of my own, Lord.
I see, I love you, I love you, I know I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart, you are my end.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.